This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to Radio Tyneside, hospital and community radio on 93.6 FM, Ospedia Channel 1 and online.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Let me tell you a story this morning about two people. A father and his son, who were lost at sea in complete darkness, not knowing which direction to take. It was a cold winter's night when a vicar made his way to the church at the top of the cliff, ready for evensong. He was almost tempted to stay at home and pray. After all, no one else was likely to venture out on such a night. He really didn't feel much like going out himself, but he went all the same and lit the lights of the church. Out at sea at the same time, a father and son from his village were on board a fishing boat. A terrible storm had blown up, and they'd lost direction in the fierce waves and howling gale. They had absolutely no idea which way to go because all was dark. Until suddenly the boy cried out to his father, "Look, father, I know the way. I see a light. 'Tis our church at the top of the hill. That's the way we must go." Light guides us. It draws our eyes to it in darkness, and by light we see the way forward. We'll be hearing today how those who looked to Jesus as their guiding light were transformed, rescued, and made whole. No more were they in the dark or lost at sea. Here's a song called Guiding Light with Foy Vance and Ed Sheeran.
Well, the road is wide, waters run on either side, and my shadow in the fading light is stretching out towards the night. Cause the sun is low, and I hear there's still so far to go. And my lonely heart is beating so tired of the wonder, there's a sign ahead. Though I think it's the same one again, but I'm thinking about my only friend. So I'll find my way home. It's when I need to get home, you're my guide.
The miracles that Jesus was performing were beginning to cause real concern. His latest miracle in restoring the sight of a man who'd been born blind from birth had certainly caught the attention of a lot of people. There was no doubt that a great miracle had taken place, for this blind man was known in the community. But still, the elders sent for the man's parents to verify that this man was indeed their son, and he had, in fact, been blind from birth. So why could the religious leaders not just rejoice and be glad that this man's sight had been restored? Well, the problem, you see, was that Jesus performed this miracle on the Sabbath, and it wasn't the first time he'd healed on the Sabbath, thus breaking the fourth commandment, which reads, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work." The elders reasoned, therefore, that he was a sinner, and his deeds could not have come from God, so he must be either demon-possessed or raving mad. On the other hand, the man whose sight was restored argued that a deed as marvellous as this could certainly not have been brought about by someone who was evil. Here's Light of the World, sung by Tim Hughes.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, full of sake became poor. And here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Upon that cross, I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin. Upon that cross, I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin. Upon that. Here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship.
The Jewish leaders must have been so annoyed to have had their authority questioned, so they sought Jesus out to question him further, in order to find out more about him, to confirm their theory about him, or even trap him with his own words. So this is where we are in the Gospel reading today, from John 10:22-30. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered round him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Now, all this took place during the Jewish festival of dedication, which is still celebrated today and is better known as Hanukkah, an 8-day festival of lights. It was against this backdrop of lights being lit, Jesus revealed himself to his followers as the light of the world. He told them, "For judgment I have come into the world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Indeed, the man who'd been born blind now saw everything clearly, whereas those who opposed Jesus seemed blind and confused. We might ask how anyone can be so blind, especially when the evidence is right there in front of them. And don't we see a perfect example of this in our world right now, of people unable to accept what is absolutely true as a result of propaganda or perhaps fear and ignorance? Sometimes we only see what we want to see. And is it possible that we in the West might also be blind to our faults? What about our superior ways, our arrogance, our permissiveness, faults we're accused of? I think it was Robbie Burns who said, "Oh, wad some power the gifty gie us, to see ourselves as others see us." And so this next song comes as a prayer. "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord," sung by Michael Smith.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open my eyes, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open my eyes, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Lord, pour out your power and love. We sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Oh yes, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open my eyes.
"You are the Messiah, tell us plainly," they said to Jesus. Now Jesus avoided a direct reply at this point, but he had already revealed that he was the Messiah to various individuals. Surely he reasoned that these miracles ought to have been enough to convince people of who he was. He went on to say, "The real reason you don't believe me is that you are not my sheep." Jesus certainly was not out to win friends and influence people here. But this must have annoyed them even more, the idea of him claiming to be a shepherd of his people. For King David, who'd been a shepherd once, was the benchmark of what the Messiah would be like when he came. King, saviour, freedom fighter. Jesus went on to say, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." When my husband and I were on holiday in the Holy Land, our coach passed a Bedouin village on waste land, on the road up from Jericho to Jerusalem. And it was there I saw a shepherd walking along with his staff, and his sheep were actually following him in one long line. These sheep trusted him, and they just fell in line behind him. They knew him and his voice. The ones that Jesus calls his own are those who know his voice, listen to his words, and act upon them in faith and obedience. There's a relationship here. He knows them, they know him, and they're his forever. I just love this next version of "The Lord's My Shepherd" by Stuart Townend.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust in you. And I will trust in you. My ways in righteousness, and he anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. I feast on his pure delights, and I will trust in you, and I will trust in you alone, for your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will.
Finally, as we heard in verse 30 of John 10, Jesus says something even more controversial, something which has since been the cause of great division and debate. He said, "I and the Father are one." What did Jesus mean by being one with God? Did he mean he was the essence of God in nature and character? Or he was one with God because of his perfect love of God and his obedience? The leaders took up stones to stone him for blasphemy, yelling at him, "You, a mere man, claim to be God." That was verse 33. So who was Jesus really? This person who could forgive sins, who broke the Sabbath law, who spoke of himself being judge in the end times in parables, who had even addressed himself as I Am, which was the ancient name for God. C.S. Lewis once argued that we have three options open to us today. Firstly, either Jesus claimed to be God, but knew he wasn't, therefore he was a liar. Or secondly, he claimed to be God and didn't know he wasn't, he was therefore mad. Or he claimed to be God because he was of God and was God, God the Son. Judging by Jesus' character and by the compassionate and miraculous deeds that he did, can we honestly reason that he was a liar or even mad. If we study the claims he made about himself, we cannot possibly deduce that he was merely a prophet. If we are not sure ourselves, shouldn't we ask God to lead us into truth? I heard a lovely song over the Easter holidays which really moved me. It was sung by a choir from Ukraine. It asked a similar question. It's called Agnus Dei, Lamb of God. It says, Alleluia, for the Lord God the Almighty reigns. Worthy is the Lamb, you are holy. Are you Lord God Almighty? This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick, my technical assistant, saying goodbye, and please join us next week for more of New Day Dawning. Thank you for listening this morning. I've chosen as our final song a prayer called Lead Me, Lord. It reminds me of a passage from Psalm 25 which says, Guide me in your truth and teach me, O Lord. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and with all those you love, now and always. Amen. So I leave you with the congregation of Maria de Jesu Church, singing Lead Me, Lord. Bye for now.